such a blessing to have you join us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Becca and Taylor are back with us, and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and we are in James 1, 1 through 12. And we ended last time talking about loyalty, and we're going to continue on with loyalty.
Wonderful. So Becca's going to open us up with the verses we're reading in James. We're going to do James 1, 5 through 8 for now.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Okay, and then Taylor, would you read for us the Proverbs 19, 22, and I think 23, and so y'all know that this is in the NLT translation.
Yes. Loyalty makes a person attractive. It is better to be poor than dishonest. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm.
Perfect. Okay. So if a person is unloyal, they're divided, right? Mm-hmm. And it says that a person who's double-minded is like a person who's folded over, is how we ended it last time. Each of us have, at some point, how did you react inside when you felt somebody was not loyal to you?
Like betrayed?
Mm-hmm. I was trying to use a better word.
Yeah.
Not loyal.
It hurt.
Hurt.
My pain hurt. It was in my heart, so. Mm. And shocked.
Mm. What about you guys? How did you feel?
I questioned why I trust them in the first place with whatever it was.
Yep. Disrespected too, like I'm not valuable to them.
Right. Okay. So when I was listening, Chuck Misler, he is a preacher, pastor, teacher out of, I think, somewhere in California. When he was preaching on this particular series of the book of James, he said, what we have to understand is that the critical thing in all of this is, where's the trust? Mm-hmm. The foundation of how we develop loyalty comes from trust. And each of you described how trust was broken. James is saying here, our God, who is generous, says you don't have to go all over the place. You don't have to be folded. You don't have to be double-minded. If you ask, he's going to give it to you. And so he's given a call out to being loyal to God. And so as we've read in the Proverbs, Proverbs tells us loyalty is attractive. You can't help but want to be with a person who is loyal. And I don't know, Michaela and Grant reflect very much, and I'm not saying that I'm not a loyal person, but the person I esteem the most that reflects loyalty is my husband, Greg. Today in our culture, people switch jobs all the time. They're not loyal. And my husband has been with his current company over 30 years, and that's really rare. And he has been with that company through a collapse, the collapse of Enron, the purchase by Dynegy, the collapse of Dynegy, and then the repurchasing by Warren Buffett, and then Berkshire Hathaway Holdings, and then brought to Omaha. And he has remained loyal in what he does without wavering as the company has had its shifts. And I think the modeling of that, my kids I don't think they would say, oh yeah, I got that from Dad. But Greg, and how Greg has handled the circumstances, even though things may have been hard, he always presses through, and that, you know, we've got a job to do, and this is my company, and I'm going to honor my company, and I'm going to do it with integrity, and I'm going to remain loyal. And I just sit and watch that, and I'm astounded, because it's beautiful, because few people have that kind of heart today. And when Michaela was very little, when I was praying for verses for her, there's a passage, I think it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that it says, allow love and loyalty become an adornment upon your neck. And I don't remember which translation it is, because different translations, love and kindness, mercy and love, it depends on the translation. But the actual Greek means loyal. It's the loyal hesed, loyal love. And I've prayed that for her, that loyal love, that sense of loyalty would be a part of her, because loyalty is so attractive. And so are we, as a people, loyal? like with the people we're serving, with the ministries we have, with the jobs that we have, that I'm going to so guard them that even if they aren't doing what they need to be doing, doesn't matter. I am going to be their protector. I'm going to be that. And so that's call out to that. And then how does that look with my relationship to God? Do I trust God that, okay, I am in these trials? So we looked last time how the landowners of the poor people, the aristocracy, is like taking things away and taxing, and this revolt happens, and it's a devastating time so that Christians had to flee. And are they still willing to remain loyal to God? That even though it's hard, can they allow themselves to stay loyal? And that's what he's asking. It stops you. And so one of the things I started doing at that point, it's like, okay, God, is this response loyal? So if I've gone in my head to a spirit of criticism, judging, jealousy, anxiety, it's like, God, okay, am I reflecting loyal love? And I can't tell you how many times through the years he's made me go back and it's like, girl, yeah, because if I have his love, that loyalty will be shown. And so I've had to like confess that sin a lot, sorry. And then, but get back to the heart of it is it has to start out of the love and getting the love in me. And so what are y'all's thoughts on that? It's kind of like, ouch, but it's good, right? It's right. Just, all right, so let's go to the next part.
Okay.
We're going to do, he says, believers, let's start with verse 9 and take it through to, we'll go ahead and just do it to verse 11. We're going to have Sandy read it. You want to do that? Like, I didn't assign that, did I? Like, we're all like, who's going to take over?
The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. I missed the word high in the other one. Because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business.
That's true. Okay, so what here is he's describing the process of life and that there's suffering and when we're poor. And if we go to the Beatitudes, let's read. See, Taylor, I want you to do, if you could, open to Matthew 5, and we're going to do verses 10 through 12. And then I'm going to have Becca at one point, could you do Romans 5, 1 through 5? And we want to see how, what it has to say about suffering and how suffering helps us to go deeper with God. And if we allow the trials that he says will come your way to bring about growth and endurance to bring that perfect good work, then we will see that come in. Okay, you got it?
5, 10 through 12.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Okay. This is suffering at the hands of people, right? And so what does he say? You are blessed if you are
persecuted.
Okay, but not just persecuted for the sake of it. What kind of persecution? Because of?
For the sake of me.
Mm-hmm.
Of your faith in Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Righteousness. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, but he says right there, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Literally. And that means here. Mm-hmm. That's not just talking like eternally. Right. And then he says, when people insult you and say all kinds of evils because of me, you should be what?
Rejoice and be glad.
There's that rejoice word.
I don't like that. I don't know. It's like, I get a God. I do. But man, oh my goodness. I had this Bible study I taught in two different churches at the same time. And I was doing the exact same thing, and I was teaching the Beatitudes, exact same thing. And one of them started off with like 60 women, and by the time I was done, I had 3. And the other one, I started off with 3 women. By the time I was done, we had about 50. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out what was going on. And when I finished, you know, I remained faithful. And when I finished, the church that dwindled and died down. I received a an email, which is just bizarre how this happened. And she pretty much unleashed on me and told me that I was like casting pearls before swine. Literally, she actually said those phrases. And I was like, how do I even respond to that? Like, I've been faithful in giving the word. Like, I didn't do anything different. Whereas I had women come to know the Lord in this other place. Like, why in two different settings? One setting it was rejected, in another setting it was received. And they're supposed to both be evangelical settings. I was just floored. I didn't even know. I never got a solution other than that God said, you have to love them, and they're spiritually not where they need to be. Mm-hmm. That was the answer.
You know what crossed my mind when you're saying that? I'm thinking, you know, not to blame, but if you don't have a pastor that actually teaches the truth and his sermons and all the time, they're not getting fed.
Right.
And I'm thinking that first church.
Maybe.
I don't know either.
It wasn't the spirit of learning and teachable heart wasn't there. Whereas in the other one, it was. And what God convicted me was, it didn't matter. What mattered is I had to be faithful.
Yeah.
But I mean, literally, when I got the email, I mean, I was devastated anyhow, and just how it all processed. Like, I'm like, begging God, what's going on? Like, one's flying and the other one's dying. Like, what? And then actually, you guys, the three women that stayed were three women that weren't a part of that church. that tells you something.
Bingo.
As well. And so God convicted me. Greg, I was literally in a ball on the bathroom floor bawling. And Greg's like coming in, and he's trying to comfort me, and he's like, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm like, you can't do anything. I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus, because right now I don't even know how to respond. I don't know what to do, but I just need Jesus. And so just let me just stay here and bawl and pray and allow God to work. And that was one of those that he had to work in me, because I would drive past that church and I'd want to judge them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to be critical. And then it dawned on me, wait, they persecuted you for giving that which was the Beatitudes.
The truth. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, I just received a reward in heaven and they don't even know it. And then that changed, where it made me see them in a different way. And I started praying for that church to know the Lord.
Yeah, I was going to say, they need prayer.
I started begging God for their souls, and that they had a hunger and thirst for the word and for righteousness and truth. Mm-hmm. And so he did a work in me, but it wasn't an easy work. And I had to allow him, as I was receiving the persecution, to rise up. And that taught me persecution can be hard, but what we have to do is ask God, what is my response to be? And how can I show loyal love to you, to the people that it's coming from? Okay, so let's go to the next one. Let's do the Romans 5, 1 through 5.
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
This is so wonderful. I love this passage. Okay, do you see how this builds? It's suffering produces the endurance that he's telling us that we need to have at the beginning of the chapter. And as it's producing the perseverance, that's forming in me character. And we can't see necessarily the character that's happening, but character produces what? Hope. And as hope begins to grow, hope never disappoints. If we can bring hope into a circumstance, wow, mm-hmm. Huge. And then as God's hope increases, we'll find that God's love begins to reflect and people can see the Spirit moving. Stephanie and Naomi are two former resident assistants that I had, and they were really like in my office and we were laughing, and I was telling them about the importance of character, and when they're looking for their future spouse, character is important. And I said, you know, that reminds me of the Romans passage, character produces hope. So if you find a man that has character, you're going to be hopeful he could be the one. And it was like this big joke between us where we were constantly like, character produces hope. So just keep looking for character and then you can be hopeful. And now what? Naomi's getting married this summer.
That's right.
And so it was like a big joke. And so whenever I read this passage, I read that. That is not a biblical sound interpretation of how to apply it. It's just kind of like a funny thing that we did. But thinking through, how has suffering produced character in you? Each of you think of something that you have had where you've experienced some sort of suffering and it's produced character. And while you're thinking, I'll share mine. Radio people already know, if you've listened faithfully. If not, then those that are listening. So Greg and I have like a 4.5 year period where God, he pretty much removed everything from us. From we were flooded, we lost everything, and then finally moved, and then the collapse of the corporation, had to relocate, lost our ministries, moved into a city, got a house. The house wasn't healthy, had to gut the house. Daughter ended up in the emergency room. It was like all these things where, like, literally all of our financial, our family, our ministry, everything, he ripped it all from our lives. And now I can see the fruit of it. It was because he was preparing us for what he was calling us to ministry. And but at the time, I didn't see how that suffering was producing the character in me. Okay? So anybody want to share?
Well, I always go back to the same thing. Suffering, you know, like Steve and I both had cancer at the same time, and then Steve passed. Not from the cancer, but he passed. And then my daughter had cancer just recently. And what else was going on in my life? Lots of things. Well, anyway, those are some sufferings you go through with the pain. But the fruit was that losing Steve, I became a widow, and I can now reach out to other widows because I've walked that path, and also with breast cancer. So he's used it. I can't even tell you how many times he's used that for me to meet somebody and talk to him and help him.
Right.
It's beautiful.
That's good. We have just a little bit of time. Somebody got a short one?
Okay.
Go ahead, Taylor.
When I was in high school, I was bullied. And from that, I have realized that it's just helped me grow in the love of others. Mm-hmm. And I just want to love on others because I don't want anyone else to, you know, go through what I've experienced with that. And so that's definitely, like, helped me grow.
And see, that you just gave, both of you just gave us an example of how you allowed the endurance to bring about a completed perfect work.
Mm-hmm.
Because love is produced and sharing and witnessing is produced. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just have a little bit left in our James 1 through 12. So you need to come back next week and come and talk with us, or at least just listen. God bless.